So you graduate in 1960 then, don't you?
Correct.
From Norman High School. So then obviously you go to OU and play for your father, don't you?
Well, that would be the logical thing to do. But, John, you got to remember, when Dad became head coach at OU, I was just 5 years old. And it was not until Halloween, my senior year in high school, that they lost their first conference football game. Can you believe that? And so those remarkable records and three national championships and win streaks of 31, 47 games in a row, I witnessed all that as a kid growing up. And the players, of course, were my heroes. They still are to this day. But my mom and dad had conditioned both my brother Pat and me that we should go away to a college. He knew and she knew that he had an iconic status, not only here in the state, but nationally, and that it would be difficult for us to establish our own image if we were not separated somewhat. And it really was the hardest decision I ever made, because I wanted to play for him and I wanted to be part of the tradition. As it turned out, it was a great experience for me at Duke. I liked that as well.
That had to be emotionally difficult for you to leave Norman, to go to Duke. Everything was new and different. That had to be tough.
A lot of tears. My dad and mom, we wrote regularly and probably talked on the telephone once a week, but it was a very difficult transition, not unlike probably any young kid going away to college or to the military or to get a job. But the only thing that was different was my home life and this athletic environment in which I'd been raised.
But you did have a good time at Duke. First time you touched the ball in the first game you played at Duke, what happened?
Well, I was very fortunate. I actually scored a touchdown. I remember we were playing up in Richmond, and I caught the ball and weaved left, and we had a good line of blockers who did an exceedingly well job of giving me protection, and it was coincidental, but it was the first time I touched the ball in college.
He ran how many yards for a touchdown?
63 yards.
Yeah. So you were a big man on campus right off, weren't you?
Well, it was odd. People certainly, I think, on campus and the athletes knew of my father's reputation, and they had great respect for him. Our quarterback, Walt Rappel, later told me the story that the football players were all waiting to see me and the other freshman athletes come on board, and they particularly wanted to know who I was because there was some notoriety, the fact that I was going to be on campus. Walt Rappel told the group of football players around him, well, we'll recognize him because we'll see Coach Murray, the head football coach, pulling his trunk behind him. And, of course, it was not that way at all. But I was the starting quarterback at Duke my freshman year. We had a relatively good 4-1 record. Duke had a different philosophy than my father. And in Norman Junior High and Norman High School, I was the option quarterback. I had been trained to do that very well. And Coach Bill Murray had a different philosophy where the quarterback would drop back and throw the ball quite a bit more across the field, kind of like the pros do today. And I didn't really have a strong arm. I was not adept at doing that. I could throw the ball quite well running on an option pass. And that meant that I actually, my sophomore year, was on the seventh team as quarterback when I went back as a sophomore. So when you say big man on campus, I'm not sure, who knows. I probably wouldn't have played that year had it not been for an injury of one of our great players, Ed Chestnut, who was a great receiver. He had a season-ending knee injury the week before our opening game, and I asked Coach Murray if I could try out as a flanker. And I think I had enough speed and quickness to earn that job. As it turned out, I had a marvelous year, had another long touchdown punt return of 82 yards, caught several long passes. So it was a great year, but I was very fortunate, because it had not been for the injury of this great athlete, I never would have played that year.
But then you went on, you did play quarterback for them, didn't you?
Actually, I did not. I was converted to a running back my junior and senior year. And as you just said, we played both ways back then. But as an option quarterback, of course, you're going to run the ball a lot if you're not pitching it to someone. But as a running back, that gave me an opportunity to excel both as a runner and then as a receiver. So it worked out quite well. I was very fortunate.
Yes, you were named first team All-American by several publications. The Atlantic Coast Conference Football Player of the Year in 63. Every time you touched the ball, it was for an average of 8.5 yards. So you were making an impression.
Well, I didn't know that last statistic, but I felt very fortunate, very grateful to have made the first team All-American teams that senior year. And I was also very grateful that when I went to Duke, they really had a great tradition of winning. We won the Atlantic Coast Conference 3 of the 4 years I was there and came very close to winning it a fourth time. So it was a very nice experience. I think any time you make All-American, without trying to sound too modest, that you have to give credit to your teammates, or I think you should give credit to your teammates, because there are a lot of people helping, as you well know, anytime you're executing any kind of play. And I had some great teammates helping me.
Were you recruited, or could you have gone on to the pros, and why didn't you?
I think I would have been a first-round draft pick had I chose to go into the pros. I played in the East-West game, and I played in the Hula Bowl game, and then the Football Coaches All-American game that next summer, and played, I think, quite well against a lot of players that went on to play, and many of them became All-Pro. At that time, John, there was not at all the financial rewards in professional football that there are today. If you're a first-round draft pick today, you'd be crazy not to play. But I didn't think that money was a factor. I didn't have a burning desire to prove that I could make it in the pros, and I don't mean to sound too cocky here, but I did have the self-confidence that I could play. My dad never encouraged me or any of his other players to participate in pro ball. He thought that football was a learning experience that prepared you for the future. And then I also was caught up in wanting to go to theological school. I selected the Episcopal Theological School. I think it was because of that strong desire to get on with my life and to go on to graduate school that I decided to not choose the route of professional football.
How tall are you?
I was 6 feet, 1/2 inch. I might be 6 feet right now.
All right. How tall was your father?
Dad was 6'3", and I always felt looked much taller because he had such a presence and his wavy white hair. But he was 6'3".
So Episcopal Theology School, what did you do out of school? Did you go into ministry? Did you go into business? What happened?
Well, I was ordained in the Episcopal Church, and I worked part-time at St. John's Episcopal Church in Norman. But my full-time job was executive assistant to Governor Dewey Bartlett. I had an opportunity to travel with the governor and to represent him on a number of boards and commissions. I think I was caught up at that time in what I call the Kennedy idealism. I felt that I had perhaps a stronger calling being involved in maybe government and social work, trying to help others. So that's pretty much where I gravitated. I had an opportunity to work on the White House staff. I reported to Bob Haldeman. I was one of four people after the president was elected in 1969.
President Nixon, we're talking about.
Yeah, President Richard Nixon. And then I returned to Oklahoma in 1970 to run for the 4th Congressional District against Tom Steed. I picked a tough year to run, and I also picked a tough district because I was running as a Republican, but there were only 10% registered Republicans and 90% registered Democrats. So we knew if we made any mistake, we probably wouldn't win. It was a close race, but regretfully, we lost.
That was 1970.
Correct.
So then you go into business, you become an author, a speaker.
Yes, I did spend 1 year continuing to work part-time at St. John's, and I worked for the Justice Department with the Human Relations Service here in Oklahoma City, and I, among other things, set up a Street Academy program to help kids that were having trouble in regular school. Then it was at that time I had two younger daughters, and I felt that I really didn't have any financial resources, and I thought I probably maybe needed to go into the business world. And for the last 37 years, I had been in executive management of three large financial services companies.
Children, you mentioned two daughters.
I have four children. I had been married 10 years to Betty Dixon, who was from Oklahoma City, and we have two daughters, Kirsten, who lives in Oklahoma City, and Holly in New Canaan, Connecticut. But Betty and I were divorced after 10 years of marriage. I was single for three and then married Rita Davis, and Rita and I have been married 35 years. We have a son, PJ, who's 32 and lives in Seattle, and our baby, Julie, is 25, and she lives in New York City.